Welcome to the Warm and Fuzzy Podcast with Lee Flanagan.
Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the Warm and Fuzzy Featured 5 podcast. It's been quite a few weeks since the last one, so hopefully I have 5 fairly interesting things for you today, which I wanted to document for myself and of course share with you as usual. And with any luck, they'll be useful, thought-provoking, or at least they'll while away 15 or 20 minutes of your time while you're on the train on the way to the office. If it's your first time listening, then thank you very much for giving it a try. My name is Lee. I run a small creative agency called Warm and Fuzzy. We're in Birmingham in the UK, but we've worked with clients all over the place, as far away as Beijing in China and San Francisco in the US. If you like this episode, please do feel free to go back and listen to the previous ones and find out a bit more. And of course, please do get in touch with any feedback or suggestions or questions or just to say hi. Right then, off we go.
Here comes our featured 5. Number 1.
About 3 weeks ago, I was in London to visit an event called Technology for Marketing. It takes place once a year at Olympia, and it's an event I've been going to for many, many years. And it's a great place to discover all the latest technology involved in marketing, as well as hear some really good speakers share their knowledge and experience. I managed to listen to quite a few good talks, as well as have some demos of new technology on a couple of the exhibitor stands. One that impressed me was the IBM Watson stand. You've probably heard of IBM Watson. They gave me a demo of their AI in action in the context of a smart assistant on an e-commerce website. Now, most of us shop online and we're quite used to using store filters in the browser to find out what we want. For example, I might click clothing and then men's, then t-shirts, then black, then extra large to find out the thing I'm looking for. So maybe 5 clicks to find that item of clothing. So Watson's AI commerce changes this a little. The user can interact in a much quicker and more natural way. You can just chat by typing or use voice or even upload a photo of the kind of thing you're looking for. And then Watson, in conjunction with the web store, will present the results to you for consideration. And in the demo we witnessed, we dismissed 3 items that we didn't like, and then Watson asked why. And we answered that we didn't like patterned designs, for example. So then it switched to showing plain fabrics on the garments instead. We then tried uploading a photo of some sunglasses being worn by a person, and it successfully showed us and offered a range of glasses that were almost identical in terms of the style of the one in the photo. It's really clever. And you should really check it out. You just take a look at ibm.com/Watson/commerce. That's ibm.com/Watson/commerce to start with, and go from there. You should find something on there also about how your site can react to emerging trends in real time and position the products accordingly, particularly on your homepage. It's really, really impressive, so take a look at that. Now, I also had a quick demo of something fairly new called Chanable. Again, this may be interesting and useful to you if you run an online store. It's a product feed management tool, and it can send your store products to more than 1,000 price comparison websites, affiliate platforms, and other marketplaces. It can also generate dynamic ads for your products, as well as publish your products to Google Shopping and marketplaces like Amazon and eBay. I'd love to say I understand how all this works, but I just had a quick 20 or 30 minute demo. But I was really impressed. So if that's something you might need, you run an online store, do take a look at chanable.com. That's C-H-A-N-N-A-B-L-E, chanable.com. Now, speaker-wise, I was really lucky to hear 2 or 3 fantastic talks, and I can't cram them all into this one podcast, so maybe I'll mention some of the others next time around. But one that really stuck out for me was from Seth Ellison. Now, he's the executive vice president and president for Europe of Levi's, and his talk was called Levi's, the 145-year-old startup. The Levi's story is incredible. From the original invention of jeans back in 1873, through to the period from the 1960s through to 1996, then Levi's could do no wrong. It was a really brilliant business, but then just a few years later, they were in steep decline and $2 billion in debt. The situation was so bad when Seth joined the company, he said he was having to tell people, "Don't assume we're going to be bust in 2 years. Assume we're going to be bust tomorrow morning. We have to do things today to save the company." The good news is they did save the company. Seth told us listening A very impressive turnaround story. Levi's has had its best 2 years in decades, and sales in Europe are up well over 20%. Now, he puts it down to employing a startup mentality to what they do at Levi's now. And technology has definitely played a part, and they've invested heavily in new back-end systems to deal with logistics and order handling and things like that. They're also now being really brave and innovating and trialing and testing new store formats and new products and new production techniques. And they're working really hard on producing advertising that resonates with a new and younger audience and audiences that maybe didn't even know Levi's. As Seth puts it, we see ourselves as rock and roll on the outside and a Swiss watch on the inside. You have to be both. I think that's really, really good advice. So that's just a few of my thoughts from Technology for Marketing 2018. If you want to attend next year, and I'd thoroughly recommend you do, it's on the 25th and 26th of September 2019, and you can find out more at technologyformarketing.co.uk.
You're listening to the Warm and Fuzzy podcast. Number two.
Now, I'm not sure if I've mentioned supermarkets before, but I wanted to talk about a new brand that's just appeared called Jack's. You may have heard about this. This is the new low-price discount store owned by Tesco, and it's been launched to compete with Aldi and Lidl. And it's named after the Tesco founder, Jack Cohen, and they plan to open about 10 to 15 stores in the UK initially to try the format out. Now, I'm interested, of course, in the branding and the market positioning of Jack's, and I'm quite intrigued to see whether it works or whether Tesco has got it wrong. Now, personally, I always have had reservations about cost leadership as a strategy. Setting yourself out as just being the cheapest is often a really bad move. But I realise they want to compete with Aldi and Lidl. Also, I think those brands have moved on a bit since they first arrived here. And they're not just about price now. I do think they offer more than just a great value offer now. As for the visual branding, Jack's does feel very, very predictable. And I'm certainly not alone in noticing that it's overtly British and maybe trying to tap into a pro-Brexit audience. Now, I promised myself I would avoid politics on this podcast, so I'm going to try and stick to that if I can. But I can't help noticing a few things in Jack's branding. There's lots of red, white and blue, stacks of it around. There's plenty of Union Jacks, and there are lots of mentions of products being produced in Britain. In fact, they're claiming 80% of what they sell is made here in the UK. It's also maybe no coincidence then, the first store opening was in a place called Chatteris in Cambridgeshire. And that's an area that voted Leave in the 2016 EU referendum by 74%, so quite a decisive margin, I think we can call that. And of course, their two discount competitors, Aldi and Lidl, are both German brands. So it does feel like an obvious strategy in the context of the times we're living in. Lots of people feeling a financial squeeze and looking to save money on their groceries. At the same time as we exit the EU, and many people may be looking inward to support UK-based producers rather than importing goods from elsewhere. Maybe Tesco has called it correctly, I don't know. Their plans are to roll out slowly and cautiously, it seems, no doubt testing along the way, at the same time as trying to gauge the mood of the nation as we negotiate leaving the EU. So what do you think? I'd love to know your thoughts on this one. Do drop me an email at podcast@warmandfuzzy.co.uk.
Email your questions to podcast@warmandfuzzy.co.uk. Number three.
Okay, so next, a quick mention and recommendation of one of the books I've read recently that I think many of you might really enjoy and find useful. It's a book called Contagious. It's not a new book. It's actually quite old. It's published in 2013 and is written by Jonah Berger. It's a New York Times bestseller, and its subtitle is How to Build Word of Mouth in the Digital Age. Really great book. So he takes you through his six principles of why things catch on. Why do they spread? And these things are social currency, triggers, emotion, public observability, practical value, and stories. Now, obviously, you need to read the book to delve into each of those areas and understand the detail and see how they work individually as well as how they all work together. The book really explains how social influence shapes everything from the cars we buy, the clothes we wear, the names we give our children. And if you've ever wondered why certain stories get shared and spread around so widely, or an email gets forwarded to everyone, or a YouTube video goes viral, then this book will really help you shed some light on how that works. He gives so many great examples in the book, which of course I can't relay all of those just in this podcast in a few minutes, but it's really worth a read. One that you probably are familiar with, he mentions in the book, a really famous one, is the story of Blendtec, the blender manufacturer made famous from the Will It Blend videos. Now, if by any chance you aren't familiar with those, just type Will It Blend into YouTube and you'll see what I mean. Their first video was made 11 years ago and it racked up 6 million views in the space of a week, and it completely transformed their business. And Tom, the founder, is still making the blending videos today. And I guess it's the perfect example of something becoming contagious and spread so widely, and yet then helps deliver massive business success for the company. Anyway, I can't recommend this book enough, really. It's really great fun, really useful. So do go and grab a copy. It's called Contagious and it's by Jonah Berger, and it's on Amazon UK for just over a fiver, which is a real bargain. So I urge you to take a look.
Don't forget to download the Anchor smartphone app and send in your audio messages. Number 4.
In previous episodes, we've touched upon a few new technologies like AI and machine learning, and this time I wanted to specifically mention something about bots that I spotted just yesterday. And this was a new survey in the US, surveying 4,500 American adults, asking them about social media bots. Now, the survey revealed that most Americans said they couldn't tell social media bots from real humans. And most of them were convinced bots are bad. So only 47% of Americans are confident they can identify a social media bot from a real human. Now, in contrast, most Americans surveyed in another study about fake news said they were confident they could identify a false news story. Now, the survey also found that most people actually don't know much about bots at all. And 2/3 of Americans have at least heard of social media bots, but only 16% said they've heard a lot about them, while 34% actually said they've never heard of them at all. Now, younger respondents were the most aware of bots, as you probably imagine, and men are more likely than women by 22 percentage points difference to say they've heard of bots. So before you get all excited about those new likes and comments on your latest post on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, do have a look and see if you can work out whether that account that just made that like or that comment was real or just a bot. Now, aside from social media bots, I've also been looking into website chatbots quite a bit recently, and those are also becoming more and more human in their language. It ties into what I said earlier about the IBM Watson demo. It's becoming really hard to differentiate them from real people. I think the interesting point I'm trying to make is, do any of us feel tricked by this? And I think going forward, do we think the tech companies have a responsibility to make it crystal clear when we are communicating with a bot rather than a real person? Or on the flip side, if you can increase the sales from your website by introducing chatbots, or you can gain more followers by automating your social media activity, then are you quite relaxed about it? I'd love to hear from you, so do let me know, and drop me an audio clip or send an email.
The Warm and Fuzzy Podcast, graphic design, marketing, business and technology. Number 5.
So lastly, as I often do, is something quite practical and hopefully useful to tell you about. And that's about Adobe. They've just released something called Adobe Premiere Rush, which is a new video production tool to make it much, much easier for you to produce video content for your website and social media channels. And this is great news if you haven't maybe got the budget or the time to use a professional videographer, or maybe you've shot some footage yourself and then you've had a go at editing it together in Adobe Premiere Pro or Final Cut Pro, and you found the whole process of making video really way, way too complicated. So Adobe Premiere Rush, it works across all your devices. That's a crucial difference. So you can now work on the go using your iPhone or your iPad, and then maybe finish off the full edit on your desktop or your laptop later on. You can shoot, edit, and share all in the one single app. And I think this is the massive benefit for a lot of people. So there's no need to shoot and then import the clips you've got into something else, and then you've got to export your finished video into several different formats to suit uploading to different platforms. Adobe promise with this new tool. We can do it all in the one place. Plus, of course, it's the add-ons. It's super easy to bring in stock footage or stock motion graphics from Adobe Stock. And the app already comes with loads of presets and templates to get you going and looking professional really quickly and really easily. Now, I've only had a quick play around with it today on my iPhone, and so far it seems really, really good. I guess it feels a little bit like iMovie, but I think you can tell that it offers quite a lot more once you dig into it a little bit further. I think it's ideal maybe for those, you know, those quick little videos that show people what's going on in your business, the day-to-day stuff. They don't need to be perfect. They don't need to have a professional videographer maybe, and they don't need to cost a load of money. It's stuff you want to share regularly. This app will help you make those short videos of a reasonable standard really quickly and easily. Now, if you've already got an Adobe Creative Cloud account, you can, of course, get it right away as part of that for no extra cost. And if not, then don't worry, there is actually a totally free option, and it does everything, just limits you to 3 exports, I think. So if that sounds like you need a bit of help making your own quick videos, go to adobe.com/UK if you're in the UK, and just search for Premiere Rush to find out more, or just dive straight in, search for it on the App Store on your iPhone and download it and just have a play around with it. It's really easy to use. So that's it for episode 6 of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you made it all the way through, as usual, really appreciate you sticking with it. Hope there's something in there that you found useful, maybe you can use in your everyday business. And of course, I'd be really grateful if you've enjoyed listening to the podcast and you can subscribe or share it or tell some other people about it. That would really, really make my day. Thank you so much. I'll be back for the next one in a few weeks' time. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to the Warm and Fuzzy podcast. You can find us online at warmandfuzzy.co.uk.